in a small club in Minnesota, and the snow outside of First Ave. I just wanted my name in the star. Now look at where we at, still growing up.
Welcome back. It is The Blitz, 2:30 to 4, Monday to Friday, here on AM 1450 KATE. Mitch Widmeyer here with you. We go to the phone lines. He hops on every Monday. We're always thankful for his time and his presence. Mike Grimm, the voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers and the sports director at Minnesota News Network, joining us this afternoon. Thank you, as always, Mike. We talking Gophers hoops today, per the usual. Let's go all the way back to last week. A week ago today, the Gophers edged out Drake by a point. I'm just glad they got the win. Is it possible that a win can serve as a wake-up call instead of a loss? They were 20.5-point favorites. They beat Drake by one. And you look at their losses this year. They lose to Miami. They didn't have Dupree McBrayer, and Miami's really good. They lose at Arkansas again. I don't think it was like an eye-opening loss for the Gophers. Is it possible that this win against Drake could serve as more of a wake-up call?
Well, Richard Pitino said so in the post game, so you hope that that's the case. Obviously, that's not the kind of outcome you're hoping for. They were a 20-point favorite. Drake is well coached, but they're not yet ready. They shouldn't be ready to win on the road and against a Big Ten team, and they were very, very close. Now, let's face it, they scored, 6 points or 5 points in the last 6 seconds. So the one-point outcome was a bit deceptive, but even without that, a six-point outcome, I mean, that is what it is. So they were trailing in that game up through about the 9-minute mark before they finally took control. And I a couple of things, I guess, are bothersome so far in this season for Minnesota. One of them is the way that they have lacked effort, maybe not the right word, but commitment to defending, particularly weak side defending, the pick and roll defense, and coming out and challenging 3-point shooters. It's almost like, oh, well, let's hope they don't make it. And I think this certainly here during this break from Monday, this past Monday, a week ago Monday, to this coming Thursday, that they'll try to, shore up some of that stuff.
I know some are on edge now questioning the validity of this team. I'm just glad they won the game, because in March, at least, past instances would tell us, Mike, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, barely beating someone doesn't degrade you. It doesn't count against you. People won't point at this game in March against the Gophers and say, I don't know, they barely beat Drake. It'll just count as a win, and we'll just look at it as a win in the grand scheme of things when we sort of blow up their resume, correct?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that at the end of the day, that's what matters. I mean, that was a losable game if you looked at it, and they ended up getting the win. So at the end of the day, it's a results-oriented business. We hear that all the time. So they did get the desired result. The process was not exactly the way they wanted, so hopefully that does serve as a wake-up call. But, yeah, nobody is going to look at that game in March on the selection committee and say, well, let's bump them down a peg because they only beat Drake by one, that's for sure.
Did this little break, the time off, you mentioned they play last Monday, they don't play again until this Thursday when they welcome in Oral Roberts. Did this little break for the Gophers in between games come at a perfect time for them to sort of exhale and regroup a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, you want some time when finals are happening and that stuff, and that certainly is the reason for it. But, you prefer that you don't need, retooling time. You prefer that, that everything is good, that you're just fine-tuning some stuff. But that's not the case. There are definitely things to work on. The one thing I'll say, because it is interesting, we live in this age now where instant reaction and instant breakdown and somebody's at fault and somebody messed up by only beating Drake by one. And, it does get – I get it. I appreciate the passion of the fans. But I also think you have to understand, if you just step outside our own little bubble here, and I'm going to use some examples. In fact, you and I talked about Northwestern a couple of weeks ago. They're not as, people thought they might be, the along with Minnesota, the two teams that could contend with Purdue and Michigan State for the Big Ten. Well, Northwestern got off to a slow start. They lost to Georgia Tech. They got beat by Creighton. Forget who else. Somebody else might have gotten them. And people are like, well, they're ready to end the season for them already. They're no longer title contender. Well, now they come back. They beat Chicago State by 80 or something, and have a couple of nice wins since. And I saw on Big Ten Network on Saturday the show, and they're like, oh, they're contending. They give kudos to Chris Collins for getting this team righted. They're back in it. This team might be the dark horse team. Well, That's all in a matter of 2.5 weeks. So before we just pull the plug on the Gophers because they beat Drake by one, let's let a few games play out here. They should be able to handle the next three as they head into Big Ten play in January. Purdue was the same way. Now people are talking about Purdue as a Final Four team. And, you know, a month ago they lost to Western Kentucky in, where was it, the Bahamas or Cayman Islands or someplace. And people were like, well, that team's not as good as we thought. Big Ten stinks. Now, the Big Ten might stink, but Purdue, now all of a sudden after they beat Butler over the weekend, people are saying, well, this, you know, they look like a Final Four kind of team. So, you know, the season ebbs and flows. Sometimes good teams have poor stretches. The Gophers a year ago had a really good year but lost five straight. So, you know, hopefully we can grow as a fan base a little bit and learn to, hey, you don't have to be thrilled with, you know, I'm not thrilled with how the Gophers played against Drake, but by the same token, let's stay away from the ledge and at least let the team play it out. Now, if they end up, you know, stinking up the joint and finish 15-15 and don't make anything, then, yeah, it was a bad year, but I just see too many people, it seems, wanting to cash this year in already, saying, well, they're just a disappointing, you know, disappointing season.
Always love having him on, Mike Grimm, the voice of the Gophers and sports director at Minnesota News Network with us. I use this comparison often, Mike, like if I didn't know any better, if I hadn't watched a second of Minnesota, and it's not just Minnesota fans. You mentioned Northwestern, Purdue has two other examples, and it's not just in the Big Ten. It's not even just in the sport of basketball. But if I just looked on Twitter and I was blind to everything that was going on in college basketball this year, the Gophers right now sit at 9-3. But if you didn't know any better and you just based it off what people were saying on Twitter, I would assume this Minnesota team's like 5-7 or 4-8, and they're vastly underachieving.
Yeah, that's exactly my point, is that, you know, it's a long season. You know, this team started the year ranked, what, 15th or 18th or something, had a really nice win at Providence, and, you know, I think a couple people tweeted out that they might be a Final Four caliber team. They still might. I don't know if they were. I don't know if they ever were. I always said, and you know this, you can go back and check the tape, I always said that their goal should be to get into mid-February playing meaningful games so that if they play winning basketball the last 2 weeks of February, they have a chance to challenge Michigan State for the Big Ten championship. And there's nothing right now that says that they can't do that.
What do you think, or maybe you know, because we talked about they haven't played since the Drake game a week ago today, and they're not in action until this Thursday against Oral Roberts. What do you think Coach Pitino has been emphasizing in practices since the Drake game?
Well, I think I asked him that question at, you know, we had the game Monday night and then the coaches show on Tuesday, and I asked him in the coaches show, okay, what do you want to see here in the next week between the time we talked on what was this past Tuesday till like to tomorrow when we have the next coaches show. And basically, I mean, he and I, sometimes we get to be smart alecks with each other, and he said everything. We got to get better at everything, which of course they do. But then when he dove into it, you know, he wants to see the defensive effort increase, and by that he's talking about help side defense and pick and roll defense, which has really been an issue. And I also wonder, and I'll ask him about it in the coaches show tomorrow. I got looking at the numbers a little bit. I had a little free time, and it's a very hard paradox. It's a very hard dilemma if you're Minnesota, because you are. You don't want Reggie. You're not very deep, so you want to stay out of foul trouble. But this team is at times fouling at an incredibly low rate. I mean, there have been some broadcasts where the team has had two fouls through 13 or 14 minutes of action, and I wonder if they're just, if maybe they're playing gun shy defensively because they don't want to get in foul trouble, and then consequently that leads to what looks like maybe lazy closeouts or lazy defense on weak side help, because they want to stay out of foul trouble because they know there's not much depth. And let's face it, teams that don't foul a lot usually win. So, you know, Tom Thibodeau's talked about that, play defense hard but don't foul, and that's that fine line. But if you're committing, to me, if you're committing only two fouls in 12 minutes of play, I think that was the case the other night against Drake in the first half, then you're probably not playing defense aggressive enough, and there's that fine line. So I'm going to ask him about that and see if that's part of my guess is he's going to say that he likes the idea of not fouling and sending the opponent to the line, but I do think there's that fine line. So weak side defensive help in terms of defense, pick and roll defense they got to be better at. They've been a pretty good rebounding team, but I think they have to get the guards involved in rebounding better. I think Amir Coffey has to rebound the ball better.
I'd like to see Amir get a little more consistent and maybe playing some more five-on-five in practice as opposed to just running individual drills will help with all of that.
You mentioned the lack of depth that a lot of people have pointed towards with this Gophers team. If I, Mike Grimm, if I had you pick one bench player that you think has the capabilities of emerging this year once conference play rolls around, who is that player? Not necessarily that you think they will, but who do you think could emerge if I had you choose one off that bench?
Well, I mean, Isaiah Washington has got to be their best player off the bench. He can sub for two different players. He can come in for Washington he can come in for Mason or McBrayer. So he becomes a valuable piece because of that. And he probably off the bench is their best igniter. So I think he's struggling a little bit, and I'm not saying in a malicious way, but you got to remember this is a kid that probably since he was 4 years old has played with the ball in his hand almost 100% of the time in a game. And I think he needs to embrace the role better, and he's got to learn it. I'm not saying that he's resisting embracing the role. I think he's just learning to embrace it and trying to figure out how. But he has to be a spark plug off the bench. He has to be, you know, the old microwave Vinnie Johnson off the bench. You know, come in, drive and dish, shoot if you're open, get to the rim, which he can do almost at will. And I think he's kind of gotten caught up in a bunch of stuff. He's in a shooting slump to start his career as a college player, and I think he's trying to prove to people that he can shoot, and at times is forcing that part of the game. So I think he has to embrace what he's got, knowing that down the road he's going to be this team's point guard, and ultimately there's a good chance he'll be this team's best player somewhere down the road. It just isn't going to happen this year, and maybe not next, but that, to me, he's one of the key guys off the bench because, you know, he'll be the guy that's going to sub for Mason and McBrayer both. Fitzgerald, I guess, would be next in line. He's just playing with such a low level of confidence right now. I'm worried a little bit about him and to see and hope that he can get some confidence, get some confidence back because he has some tools. He has shown some flashes, but, and he's also a guy that can play multiple positions, the 3-4 and even the 5 if he gets in a pinch.
He's the voice of the Gophers, the sports director at Minnesota News Network, Mike Grimm, kind enough to take time out of his afternoon to hop on the Blitz. We mentioned the Gophers. We'll finish up with a couple of points. They pick it back up this Thursday against Oral Roberts. Then they have Florida Atlantic on Saturday. How crucial is this stretch to finish the non-conference with 3 wins and gain some confidence heading into Big Ten play? It's Oral Roberts, Florida Atlantic, and then Harvard. Harvard, one of those dangerous teams in years past. Tommy Amaker's taken them to a couple of big dances. I think they're like 3 games below 500 this year. They haven't played a hard non-conference, so it might not be the same sneaky Harvard team that we have seen before. How crucial is it for the Gophers to pick up 3 wins in the non-conference heading into conference play?
Yeah, they have to hold serve against these 3 teams. And so understand this. Let's put it, this is the best way I think I can phrase it, because I'm sure people are like, oh, you know, Grimm's really defending this team. You know, he's telling us to be patient, and they're playing terrible against Drake and not any good on the road in a couple of games. And I'm not debating any of that. They haven't looked good. I get it. I'm just saying that the season ebbs and flows. And when you start the season ranked 15th or 18th or whatever it was, it doesn't mean you're going to go undefeated. There are going to be some losses. There might be 10 losses, you know. I mean, that's a possibility. You know, the 15th or 20th ranked team in the country is not, you know, going to go 30-2. But that doesn't mean they can't make a nice run and let it ebb and flow. So I guess my answer is I'm asking folks, you know, be patient with this team. There are going to be times, as Purdue has gone through, as Northwestern has gone through, as Michigan, which now all of a sudden looks like it might be a dark horse in this race, which I thought that back at Media Day. I love Mo Wagner and what he's done. Well, they had a couple of duds early in their non-conference, and people had already dismissed them. Well, now all of a sudden, you know, they get a win at Texas, and people are proclaiming them as a factor. I think they will be a factor, and I think there's no reason Minnesota can't either. So, in other words, wait it out. But, and this is a but, I'll understand, if the Gophers don't win all of the next 3 as they get ready for Big Ten play, then yeah, maybe some alarm bells need to sound and all of a sudden we can worry and panic. But, you know, I just think we're in December. Let's let this thing play out a little bit let's enjoy watching the game. Let's just enjoy seeing where this team can end up, because ultimately their success will be dependent on what they do or don't do, to me, in the month of March.
We'll wrap it up on this. I'm curious what you thought of the weekend that was for the Big Ten and some of their premier games. Indiana beats Notre Dame. Rutgers beat Seton Hall, who I believe was ranked in the top 15. Purdue blew out Butler. And Nebraska almost beat Kansas. Kansas escaped Nebraska with just a one-point victory. So all in all, in some of those premier games, the Big Ten came to play this weekend.
It was a great weekend for the Big Ten, no doubt. I think Ohio State got a win. Michigan got a win. Michigan beat Texas. I think that was during the week, though, at some point last week, and that's a nice win. And no doubt they needed it. The Big Ten was not looking very good. That was clear. And the scary thing for the Big Ten is they enter, this Christmas time and then into Big Ten play that first week, re-enter Big Ten play, because obviously they've all played two games that first week of January, is the fact that as of last Monday, now I have not done much looking at the RPI. I always look at the RPI and the Ken Pomeroy rankings and some of the others as you get ready for a game, just as a baseline for where the Gophers are, their opponent is, where the conferences for each team are, and all of that. And as of last Monday, there were only four teams in the top 50 of the RPI, and that did not include the Golden Gophers, who were like 53. And it's early, but the scary part is usually you say, well, that's fine because, you know, once you get into Big Ten play, you'll have all kinds of chances for quality wins. Well, we all know that the selection committee looks at top 50 wins, and heading into Big Ten play, if there's only three or four teams in the top 50 and you don't play everybody twice, which is the case, you might be in some trouble depending on who you might be. And knowing also that there's some teams that have some bad RPIs right now that are very capable of pulling an upset. I mean, Wisconsin's RPI isn't very good. They could beat anybody in the league. Iowa's RPI is no good. They could beat anybody in the league. Nebraska's RPI is no good, and they've already beaten Minnesota. So you get the idea that it sets up for a tough situation. The Big Ten, you know, a week ago was looking at maybe only four or five teams out of a 14-team league being in the tournament. I don't think the Gophers were in trouble. I think that people could look at them and know that they're, you know, a team that belongs in the Big Dance, but they can't fool around too much. And so all that's a long answer, Mitch, to set up that the Big Ten needed a weekend like last weekend. And as I dive into some more game prep as we get ready for Thursday's game, I'll be interested to see where some of these Big Ten teams are now after that weekend, because certainly it would seem that that weekend would have to boost not only the individual teams' RPIs, which is good, but also the conference as a whole.
That game Thursday night against Oral Roberts, a 7 p.m. tip, which means it's a 6:30 pregame. You can catch the game right here on AM 1450. Mike, as always, thank you for the time.
You got it. Enjoyed it, Mitch. Thank you.
Weekend and Monday headlines coming up next.